days, looking at the x-rays, talking about the options, and talking about sweet time. I asked him when it sank in that this might really be the real end. How's it hit you when you get that kind of news? Man, what'd you do? And he said, I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Blue Manchu, and I looked deeper, and I spoke sweeter, and I...
Stay tuned, my country listeners. Country 101 is up next.
And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. He said, I was finally the husband that most of the time I wasn't, and I became a friend would like to have. And all of a sudden going fishing wasn't such an imposition, and I went three times that year, I lost my dad. Well, I finally read the good book, and I took a good long hard look at what I'd do if I could do it all again. And then I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu, and I looked deeper, and I spoke sweeter, and I gave forgiveness I've been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. Like tomorrow was a gift, and you got eternity to think about what you do with it. What did you do with it? What did I do with it? What would I do with it? Skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull.
All right, there's a throwback from 2004 by Tim McGraw to start off my show tonight. Fun fact for ya, 4 months until DJ Rodeo's birthday, the 21st, so the big 20 out of the teens, baby. Don't forget you're tuning into Country 101 with your one and only DJ Rodeo right here on Wednesday, October 21st at radio.dominican.edu. And I think I'm coming with a little head cold, got the sniffles. A little cough, so pardon me if I sniffle a lot during the show. And I'm sure you already know what I'm going to talk about first. Zach Brown Band. Oh my gosh. Friday night's concert was too good to be true. I figured out this was my third time seeing him, but one of the best shows by far. I was a tad late, but due to some traffic and missed the opening. I know. I was mad at myself as well. So I didn't see how it started, but I saw how it ended. Of course, he played some classic songs like Toes, Keep Me in Mind, and then his newest song out from his new album, Homegrown, Remedy, Beautiful Drug, and End with Chicken Fried. He played for 2 hours and even played a Queen song, Bohemian, which was so good, and I wasn't expecting that at all. And also his new song with Avicii, Broken Arrows, which is not really country, but at least I wouldn't say, but it was amazing. And when he played that song, I didn't feel like I was at a country concert anymore. Jimmy, who plays the fiddle, had a few solos with his fiddle, so he's so talented. It was nice to see him perform up and close. It was incredible. And then I also love John, the bass guitar. He's so fun to watch and perform on stage. And they put on such a good show. Zach performed so well as usual. And he's one of those artists that I think sound the same as they do on the radio station. And while the show was going on, there were actually two men in uniform with their girlfriends or wives, not really sure of the status, didn't ask either. but their seats were in front of my friends and I, and throughout the concert, couples and a few gentlemen came up to them and kept giving them beers and shook their hands and thanked them for their service, and it was so cool to witness that. I'd never witnessed something like that before. And when they finished the concert with Chicken Fried and the lyrics were, "I thank God for my life and for the stars and stripes. May freedom forever fly, let it ring. Salute the ones who died, the ones that give their lives, so we don't have to sacrifice all the things we love." And so when that lyric came on, more people came up to them and also my friends and shook their hands and thanked them. So that was really cool to experience that at a concert. I'd never experienced like that, as I said earlier. Now, there were so many people there at Shoreline that night. I looked behind me and just saw the whole venue, and there was definitely more people for Zac Brown Band than Rascal Flatts. I'm not surprised, but also Rascal Flatts was on a Sunday night and Zac Brown Band was on a Friday night, so that definitely could have been a factor. It was a tad cold. I did wear another white dress, of course, but it was different from the one I wore at Rascal Flatts, and I wore cowgirl boots, but I was conflicted because he isn't all country, so I didn't know if I should like go all country or not. But I did notice a lot of couples did both, some casual wear, others more country wear. I did even see a little baby, which was crazy. She had huge earmuffs on because it was so loud where we were sitting, but I was surprised because the baby looked so young, and she didn't, maybe like they didn't find a babysitter or something, I don't know, or they wanted their kid's first concert to be Zac Brown Band. I always remember my first concert. It was actually Britney Spears. I went with my sister and my grandpa and my uncle, and we went in a limo to see her. It was awesome. But overall, Zac Brown Band was another great experience, and I really enjoyed seeing him in concert, and going to a concert is always fun, so gotta love that experience. Now, before I get into the gossip of today's country world, I was thinking before my show today, walking to classes and listening to country music and walking past others with headphones in. And I was wondering what they were listening to in their headphones, and if it was country or if it was rock, classic music, maybe even jazz. And it made me want to look up how many people today listen to country music. So I did some research. I'm not sure if this is 100% correct because some sources today aren't really that reliable, but I read on Billboard a survey that they did in 2011. So it's somewhat recent, kind of old, that 42% of the population is a country fan, which breaks down to about 95 million country music fans in the U.S. It even showed male and female, so about 48% are male and 52% are female, so 52% ranking it up. The age brackets are interesting as well. 13% are in the age range between 18 and 24, which I thought definitely would have been higher, especially for country music nowadays. And 17% to 25 to 34-year-olds, and 18% to 35 and 44-year-olds, and then 20% to 45 and 54, and then 16% to 44 and 65 and plus. Sorry about that, a lot of numbers. And then there was 26% are singles who have never married before. And I also read country fans are passionate about their families, and that 90% spend time with their families and 81% have dinner with them every night, compared to a national average of 43%. And 79% of the country fans wish they had more time to spend with their families. I would definitely be in that 79%. Being away from my family is so hard because I'm also in that 81% where I have dinner every night with my family when I live back home and are all super close with them. So those stats sound about right. Definitely, I would agree. The survey also found that country fans are most likely than the U.S. population to go dancing, go out on the town with friends, and entertain at home and dine out. Country fans spent $16 billion dining out with friends and family in 2010. So it seems like country music fans look like the average U.S. population, and that we come in all ages, income brackets, and markets. And I definitely can see country being so big. Oh gosh, so big on spending time with families. It seems like a lot of their TV shows and reality shows and their concerts are big on family and spending time with them. So I can definitely see where that percent is coming from. And on another website, AYTM, which stands for Ask Your Target Market, did another survey in September 2015 and stated that 49% have a positive opinion on country music, and that 21% said they don't like country music, boo-hoo, and 31 are neutral about it. And some of the favorite artists that they had said that people liked was Carrie Underwood, Tim McGraw, Blake Shelton, Garth Brooks, and of course, we can't forget Taylor Swift. So I would definitely agree on some of those popular singers, definitely Carrie Underwood, Blake Shelton. And I was so curious, so I'm happy I went and looked at some of these surveys and let you guys know a little bit more in the country world. Sorry for throwing all those numbers at you. I'm not trying to make it a stats class or anything. So I'm going to get back to some country music. A new topic I'm going to mention that I actually saw on Twitter, because the way I hear about country news is throughout Twitter and Instagram, Facebook, and I follow I follow like a group called Country Voices, and it shows country lyrics and news about artists, and then same with Instagram. And I like to follow some of the artists and even country sites also. So if Country 101 doesn't bring you enough country, I would definitely check out some of these artist profiles. But anyways, when I was on Twitter, I saw this list of top 10 sexiest voices. And at first I was like, I'm not going to mention this. But after reading the list, I was kind of interested because I didn't really agree on some of them from listening to like a bunch of different artists and their songs. But at number 10 was actually Kip Moore. And if you don't know what he sings Something About a Truck. And Taste of Country wrote this list, and they said that he's very confident and sensitive in his other song, Hey Pretty Girl, and that's what makes him at his 10th spot. And at first, I thought it was all male, and then when I scrolled down, Karen Fairchild from Little Big Town was on the 9th spot. I mean, she's so beautiful, and her voice is phenomenal, so it definitely makes sense with the song's Girl Crush and joining Luke Bryan for Home Alone tonight. And at number 8, Billy Currington. And with his R&B delivery, it's what sets him apart from other singers on the list. Must Be Doing Something and Hey Girl are such good songs. And even though they're fairly old, still to this day, they're huge fan favorites. And I definitely still like listening to him often. And at the 7th spot is Ashley Monroe. And the reason she's on the 7th spot because of what she has been through and has survived some very hard times with some scars to show it. And supposedly that's sexy to a guy. So maybe some of her songs, I don't think I've listened to a few of her songs, but probably talks about some hardships, and I think to a guy, it's probably attractive. So number 6 is Brett Eldridge, and I couldn't agree more. He is already so handsome that his voice is icing on the cake for sure. And number 5 is Trace Adkins, and number 4, George Strait. Kind of surprised me there with number 4. 3 is Gary Allen. 2, Keith Urban. I think he should be number 1 for sure. His voice is so mesmerizing, and his singles make memories of us, and Somewhere in My Car are so romantic as well. And singers on this list aren't just here for their looks, but for the songs they sing as well. And at number 1 is Chris Young, who has a fairly new song out, I'm Coming Over, which is so good. His voice is amazing with his romantic ballads, and that song has been stuck in my head these past couple days. But this list is very interesting for sure, so I'm glad I put that into my show tonight to share with you guys. Now, another Zac Brown Band concert, other than his concert, but I haven't heard any other concerts near me, or coming up at least. So I'll mention some that will actually happen during the summer, but it's never too early to get your tickets or plan a summer vacation or a 2016 vacation. A lot of these festivals and concerts actually start pre-selling their tickets now or putting them online and stuff like that. So definitely check them out if they sound interesting to you. So not until May, there's a 3-day festival of Texas country music. It's actually the largest in the west of Texas. And I didn't recognize last year's headliners, and it's a little too early to see who's going to be the artist this year, but I would definitely check that out once the date comes closer. And Taste of Country puts on a festival in June, the 10th to the 12th. They call it Country Woodstock, and the lineup is supposed to be one of the best this year. Kenny Chesney was announced as one headliner, and Jake Owen as another, but the weekend will bring 24 top country acts, 24, so that'll be interesting to see who else is going to perform there. In Colorado, there's a country jam, and I've actually heard of this, but I didn't really look into it. I thought maybe it was just like a little quick concert, but it's actually, I believe, a 3-day weekend, and that's in June, and it's the 16th through the 19th, and Brad Paisley, Blake Shelton, Zac Brown Band, and Lee Bryce are headlining, so that looks like a good one to go, actually. I've seen Brad Paisley and Zac Brown Band, but I definitely totally want to see Blake Shelton and Lee Bryce. I always want to go to like a festival or concert and see performers that I haven't seen yet. But I mean, going to Zac Brown Band, it's just a must because I love watching them perform. But it's always good to see new artists and see how they're doing on stage. And in Minnesota, there is the WE Fest, in which Eric Church and Tim McGraw are headlining. But this one isn't actually until August 4th, so we have a little ways. But it will actually be the 34th annual. And last year, Shelton and Lambert and Rascal Flatts headlined. So that must have been when Blake Shelton and Miranda were still pretty happy. Oh, and plan a trip with your loved ones or girlfriend or friends to Riviera Maya in Mexico. Fun fact, I actually vacationed there. But in January, the 22nd to the 26th will be Crash My Playa. Luke Bryan will be there with Dierks Bentley, Sam Hunt, Cole Swindell, and Britt Eldridge. It's an exclusive getaway, so sign me up. I definitely want to go to that. Now, not too far from me is in Arizona called Country Thunder. It's in April, the 7th through the 10th, and artists haven't been announced yet, but the attendance as previous years has topped 80,000 and is one of the biggest camping and country music parties in the Southwest. And I have a few friends who go to this concert and have heard really good things about it. So for me, I think if I had to pick a festival between Stagecoach and Country Thunder, I think, I don't know which one I would pick, but if I had to like choose from like a lot of festivals, I would definitely choose from these two. And I've mentioned before Stagecoach, what I was just talking about, which is April 29th through May 1st in Indio, California. And I already know friends who have bought their tickets and makes me want to go so bad. It's so unfair. I just want to go so bad. In Iowa, there's a Tree Town Musical Festival in which Tim McGraw, Sam Hunt, and Old Dominion will be performing. And I wonder how artists actually decide when and where they pick a venue in which year and see if like who else is performing. And then they're like, oh, I want to perform with them. But it's probably not like that. But that's just what I'm thinking in my head. And one I would love to attend is the CMA Music Festival in Nashville, not until June, the 9th through the 12th, so I still have some time. No artists have been announced yet, but usually the big of the big will play the stadium shows. There are also free concerts up and down Broadway and dozens of booths of fun, so I've read, and stuff inside the Music Center. It's the biggest of all festivals in terms of artist participation. And in June, there is a Country USA Oshkosh in Wisconsin, where Dierks Bentley, Thomas Rhett, my fave, Little Big Town, Luke Bryan, and Sam Hunt are headlining. It's a 5-day festival, and so not a 3-day weekend, but a 5-day festival looks pretty fun. I wouldn't mind going to every festival and seeing how each one is, and especially the ones like in Texas and Nashville, because I'm so sure they go all out, because that's where probably like the diehard country fans are. But I would be so down to just go to those festivals and see what it's all about. But all right, up next, I'm going to talk about artists and their music and what's new with them. But first, I'm going to take a quick break, and here's a classic Florida Georgia Line song with Cruise. Baby, a song, you make me want to roll my windows down and cruise.
Singing Marshall Tucker, we were falling in love in the sweetheart of summer. She hopped right up into the cab of my truck and said, fire it up, let's go get this thing stuck. Baby, what song you make me want to roll my windows down and cruise. Down a macro blowing stop signs through the middle, every little farm town with you. In this brand new Chevy with a little
guitar and strummed a couple chords and sang from the heart. Girl, you sure got the beat in my chest bumping. Hell, I can't get you out of my head. Baby, you a song, you make me wanna roll my windows down and cruise down a back road, blowing stop signs through the middle every little farm town with you. Baby, you a song, you make me wanna roll my windows down and cruise down a back road, blowing stop signs through the middle every little farm town with you. In this brand new Chevy with a lift kit, look a hell of a lot better with you up in it. Come on, baby, you a song, you make me wanna roll my windows down and cruise. Come on, girl, get those windows down and cruise. Oh yeah.
All right. Now, I hope you all enjoy the songs I pick for you. I try and change it up a bit with the artist. Don't forget, you're listening to Country 101 with DJ Rodeo on radio.dominican.edu, the official Penguin Radio. To start off the music and artist section, Carrie Underwood, what better way to start off? Carrie Underwood is a week away from dropping her new album, Storyteller, and is allowing fans a preview of what's to come each Friday leading up to the album's release. The country singer has just released an audio of one of the songs on the album called Renegade Runaway. As the first track on the album, the song is an upbeat track about a girl that is best to keep your distance from. One of the lyrics is, and I'll read it off for you guys, "Looks like an angel, so picturesque, like she walked out of the wild, wild west. She's a devil in a satin dress." Underwood sings, I can't really sing it for you guys, I don't have a good voice like Carrie Underwood, but Renegade Runaway, a little tongue twister, is about a boy, or a warning a boy to stay away. Another lyric, "By the time you figure out that she gave you the runaround, you won't know where she's at. She's a tumbleweed blown in the wind come sundown." Where Underwood warned a girl to stay away from an unfaithful boy in Cowboy Casanova back in 2009. This time, she's convincing a young man to stay away from an outlaw who will take everything from him alongside banjo accompaniment and powerhouse vocals, and she's well known for and loved for, definitely. Renegade Runaway follows the surprise unveiling of Heartbeat last week. The song also features Sam Hunt, Smoke Break, and that is the first single released from the Storyteller album, Underwood's fifth studio release, and it hits shelves on October 23rd, so 2 days away. Carrie Underwood has also shared the song she wrote about her son, Isaiah, and husband, Mike Fisher, "What I Never Knew I Always Wanted." That is the track on Storyteller. It's the last track and by far her most personal. It's a love song for her boys, meaning for her husband and baby boy. She admitted to Taste of Country that she doesn't think she'll be able to perform the song live. Now, I know there's a song like this on every album, and I read she was still hesitant to include it, actually. Enough people were wanting this to be on the album, the 32-year-old stated. "What I Never Knew I Always Wanted is the only mommy moment on the album. Many of the songs were discovered or written prior to her becoming pregnant with her first child. This one was penned after she became a mother, obviously. It was a struggle to return to work," she said, "that mommy guilt is definitely real." She started slowly writing just 2 days a week in a cabin that's near a vacation cabin on her property. And baby Isaiah would be in the other cabin, yet she still felt like she was missing something. In a video I watched a couple nights ago, she was saying, "Sometimes I just sit there and I'm like, I'm kind of sorry that this is your life and that you have to travel around. I'm sure you'd just rather be in home in your space and playing with your toys, and you're in this hotel room in Lord knows where, and you're on a bus." Becoming a mother didn't change the direction on her fifth studio album. When asked if it has made her a better writer, she says that's definitely not true, or not necessarily true, but she does have one thing to do, to write about. She continued to say, "I feel like everybody expects this album to be some mushy, hormonal mommy album. Underwood shares Storyteller is not that, and already released songs like Renegade Runaway and Heartbeat, as I said earlier, show some diversity, while those like Smoke Break are more mature songs, so she probably couldn't have written for albums 1 through 4. "What I Never Knew I Always Wanted" is surely one she couldn't have penned pre-Isaiah. It's just one I wrote for me and Isaiah and she and Mike, she revealed. Isaiah's such a cute baby as well. I just saw a picture of him actually holding a hockey stick, probably his dad's. So precious. Nothing's cuter than a new baby.
Love babies.
A dynamic duo that I like to listen to is Maddie and Tay, and their new song, Shut Up and Fish, is a more universal than even they thought. Women of just about any age can relate to a guy picking up the wrong time to definitely make his move. I completely agree. But men everywhere can identify with this song. Who hasn't been the guy in the boat? Perhaps only teenage boys will not get what's wrong with this story. But the lyrics snap together like a perfect Tetris board. Step back and admire their duo rhymes and phrasing as they sing some lyrics. So I'll give you guys a little read through. Can't sing it for you guys. But one of the lyrics is, oh, I was fishing. He was wishing we were kissing. I was getting madder than a hornet in an old Coke can. Getting closer, sliding over, crowding up my casting shoulder. Reaching out, trying to hold my reeling hand, saying I'm pretty, saying he's in love. And how it don't get any better than this. I said, yeah, it could, boy, if you would just shut up and fish. The old Coke can lyric is among the best of 2015, so I read. Short, sharp, witty. Honestly, that kind of describes a duo, and their third single from Start Here. A spoiler alert, homeboy gets what he deserves, although one senses the girls are sweet enough to lend him a hand and a towel as he climbs back into the boat. Maybe if he cools off and commits to chasing bass and not assuming he behaves, he may get what he's after at the end of the day. Although salmon shorts, seriously. Some key lyrics are what I said, oh, I was fishing, and he was wishing we were kissing. I was getting madder than a hornet in an old Coke can. And if you didn't know, like some of songs of Maddie and Tay's Start album, Shut Up and Fish was actually born from personal experience. So I wonder if which one experienced it or if it was both of them. So there's that for you guys. Now, an artist I don't really know or heard about much about is Lindsay L. She has a new single out called By the Way. It is a little sweeter sounding than her previous releases, but it still has teeth. Don't let the hooky banjo and mandolin combo fool you. This is a good old-fashioned man-hating song. Yep, I said it, man-hating song. And there's nothing wrong with that. Everyone can use a good little man-hating song at some point. By the Way is sure to go over well when Elle plays it live this fall and winter. The melody sticks to you like sugar while the message lingers like molasses. Elle sings after a quick introduction some lyrics, so I can't sing them for you like I said, but one of them is, thank you, Mr. Cowboy Boots, for making a fool of me. Now I know not to trust ever sweet talking boy in a pair of tight blue jeans. She gets to flash her guitar skills after the second chorus, but this song relies on clever lyrics and the singer's energetic performance. The arrangement is undeniably modern, but one stops short of calling this pop country. But The Way is pinned down with organic instrumentation, making it a refreshing listen every time. I think fans will love it because it's a good getting over you song that's still a little sweet, and we can always use one of those in our life. And if you didn't know, Elle recently busked, which is play music, a little fancy word I learned, for 24 straight hours to raise money for Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt. I think that's so awesome. She's one of the first I've actually heard do that, so that's pretty interesting. I'm sure there's a couple other artists out there that has done that before, but I just haven't read about it. Now, with Country 101, I like to make sure I don't just get the most popular artists like Luke Bryan and Carrie Underwood, even though I always talk about them, but I like to mention those that are just coming about and that we don't really hear too much about. And just starting up their career is another guy named Dallas Smith, and he has a song out called Kids with Cars. I think I just heard it on Pandora actually a couple days ago, and I actually wasn't a fan, but check it out. Maybe y'all will end up liking it. It is a nostalgic rocker that layers the singer's natural tones with postmodern country production. Anyone who still considers ages 16 to 19 to be the glory years will find a theme song in the new single from the former default singer. Jesse Fraser, Ryan Hurd, and Brad Terzi wrote Kids with Cars, and together they accurately depicted the average high school student parking lot and all the stereotypes that belong to each car. There isn't a guy around who can't relate to this chorus. And even if the schooling years weren't the pinnacle of life experiences, you know what Smith is definitely talking about in this song. You probably even have your own first real kiss in the Dashboard Light story or something similar like that. That was a lyric in his song. And Joe Moy produced Kids with Cars, and his creation is as important as the song's lyrical content. He approaches the song as a former rocker, and the result is vocals vibrating with studio effects and almost chaotic instrumentation. It's an original from the first note to the very last. I think fans will love it just because they still own their high school Letterman jacket, which I never got a Letterman's. I was into the whole class ring, so I had that, but I know my sister still has hers, and they'll definitely like it. And did you know that Smith has charted 8 top 10 songs on the Canadian country chart? So maybe he's not just coming about. Maybe I just don't know much about him. And Trippin' Point went platinum, which is 100,000 singles sold in Canada. So there's a fun fact for you. So he's actually doing all right. All right. Now, one more for our artists and their music is Red Fire Night. It's the first taste of Green River Ordinance's upcoming 15 album. And it's a song to savor. The fiddle-heavy bluegrass mix is a warm and imaginative. It's a song that sticks with you. While it could be interpreted as a love song, Red Fire Night leaves doors open for any group of friends looking to have fun on a long weekend getaway. A lyric is, throw your bags in my old Bronco, 3-day week, and then it's time to go. Radio scene, like the good times roll, man, don't it feel all right. Singer Josh Henskin sings. And listening to this song reminded me so much of Mumford & Sons, actually, in which I'm a huge fan of. And I don't know, just like the song reminded me of some of their songs. The band's tight harmonies are the backbone of Red Fire Night, but the song quickly turns into a country jam. I really liked it. Definitely a different kind of tune for me, not your typical country song, so I would definitely give it a little listen. 15 is set to be released on January 22nd in 2016, so quite a bit of time, but just throwing it out there now so y'all can be on the lookout for it. The upbeat bluegrass field Red Fire Night is a feel-good song that begs to be heard live. The band gets its name from Green River Ordinances, which restrict door-to-door sales. It's a very unique I always wondered how some bands got their names, so I looked up some actually and how they got their names. So Lady Antebellum got their name during a publicity shoot at a southern mansion that dated back to before the Civil War. That period in the South has become known as the Antebellum, from a word that means before the war. Dave Hayward, a member of the group, commented that there was a good band named somewhere in the word Antebellum, and they eventually came up with Lady Antebellum. They even got criticized, actually, by some people who claim the name celebrates the slave owners of the South's plantation system. But the word has been used in many cultures for a pre-war culture. That's a cool background story I never knew, so that's pretty cool. I also looked up the band Perry, but silly me. Their last name is actually Perry, and their brother and sister, so they kept that one simple and just left it at that. And since I just saw this last group, I was curious as to Rascal Flatts got their name in a memorable way, actually. Someone who was watching the band perform at a bar called Fiddle and Steel Guitar Bar had a suggestion for them. And they said, I had a band in the 60s. We did bar mitzvahs and high school dances, and we called ourselves Rascal Flatts. DeMarcus said in an interview with Elizabeth Murray on Today's Pop Culture, the group then signed a contract on a napkin in the bar to pay $5,000 for the name on a napkin. Now that's awesome. Definitely love that. And I actually wanted to play a Rascal Flatts classical song for you. I heard it this morning and had to put it on my show. It's been a while since I've heard it and I really enjoy it. So here you go. I'll let you guys, I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'll let you guys hear it for yourselves.
I hope the days come easy and the moments pass slow, and each road leads you where you want to go. And if you're faced with a choice and you have to choose, I hope you choose the one that means the most to you. And if one door opens to another door closed, I hope you keep on walking till you find the window. If it's cold outside, show the world the warmth of your smile. But more than anything, more than anything, my wish for you is that this life becomes all that you wanted, till your dreams stay big, your worries stay small. You never need to care.
You never look back, but you never forget all the ones who love you in the place you left. I hope you always forgive and you never regret, and you help somebody every chance you get. Oh, you find God's grace in every mistake, and always give more than you take, but more than anything. Yeah, more than anything. My wish for you is that this life becomes all that you want it to. Your dreams stay big, your worries stay small. You never need to carry more than you can hold. And while you're out there getting where you're getting to, I hope you know somebody loves you and wants the same things too. Yeah,
Flats. And if you're listening and just tuning in, this is Country 101 on radio.dominican.edu. I'm going to talk with you guys next on some celebrity gossip. I know we all love some of that. Now, I saw this artist when she had won The Voice, and she opened for, I want to say it was Rascal Flatts, and it was when she was fairly new. And what I can remember, I liked her, but she, as I said, was new, so I didn't think I knew much of her songs. But her single, I Am Invincible, may not be the only inspiring song from the singer's next studio album. While the record is far from finished, she says other songs, like Alien, help deliver a message she's been feeling lately. The new single is a song of empowerment, especially female empowerment. When it came to the film, the music video, Thrashing Scenes, she says she's dug up old memories to help fuel her on-camera rage. She told Taste of Country, I grew up singing country, and I feel like I'm a good girl, but I've got tattoos, and I travel, and I'm on the road a ton. As a kid, I got good grades, but I also had a fake ID. There's all these contradictions with myself, and I'm sure a lot of people. I just channel all the obstacles thrown my way, like my parents' divorce when I was 11, Hope tells Taste of Country. One day, after singing the song, she said, I had to get through that. I felt helpless through that, but I came out the other side learning a lot from it. Hope Pope is a very happy, very positive person who rarely gets angry, but she has a dark side that she allows herself to visit regularly. It's a good songwriting inspiration, but she has also definitely believed it's healthy to ignore dark thoughts. The 26-year-old wasn't bullied growing up, but she was picked on for chasing a dream her peers didn't understand. She'd skip parties to practice with her band and then get prank calls from classmates telling her she sounds like a chipmunk when she sings. It kind of sticks with you when you do well, Pope admits. Sometimes they pop into my mind and I'm like, you know what? I proved them wrong. Alien is a song Pope has been playing live. It's about breaking free of a label or box others want to put you in. You don't have to be this or that or this and that. There's a small chip on Pope's shoulder, but it's hidden well. Look for more of it to be revealed in a very healthy, very positive way when her follow-up to the Frame by Frame album is released in 2016. I heard this song, it's not bad, but the beat was kind of funky, so I couldn't really quite figure it out. But anyways, the 2015 CMA Awards are shaping up to be an entertaining evening as the performance lineup continues to grow. So on Monday, October 19th, it was actually announced that Jason Aldean, Luke Bryan, Kenny Chesney, Sam Hunt, and Blake Shelton will each performing during the 49th annual CMA Awards. Their already unique lineup includes previously announced collaborations with Hank Williams Jr. and Eric Church, who will kick off the 2015 CMA Awards with the very first song from Williams' next project. The song, Are You Ready for the Country, is a Waylon Jennings original, but the mashups don't stop there. Thomas Rhett will take the stage with Fall Out Boy later in the night. I'll be interested to watch that one. And Keith Urban will perform with John Mellencamp. And host Carrie Underwood and Brad Paisley, love them, are also listed as performers, as are Casey Musgraves and Kelsey Ballerina, Maddie and Tay, and Miranda Lambert. A lot of these artists whom I talk about, so if you guys watch, you guys will know some background stuff on them, so that's pretty cool. Little Big Town led the nominees with 6 nods, while Chesney and Church tie with 5 each. Lambert has 4 nominations, including Entertainer of the Year, Female Vocalist of the Year, Music Event of the Year with Little Big Town for Smokin' and Drinkin', and Music Video of the Year for Little Red Wagon. The 2015 CMA Awards will air live on November 4th from the Bridgestone Arena in Nashville on ABC. I would kill to go, but I'll be watching from my couch, hopefully with my roomies, who are actually in Hawaii right now playing soccer, so keep working hard, men and women soccer teams of Dominican. I wish I was in Hawaii. Sounds so nice right about now. So, it seems like something's always wrong with Luke Bryan. He was admittedly less than 100% when he took the stage for 2 hours in California over the weekend, but he powered through with help from a grocery list of over-the-counter remedies. The troubles actually began prior to his Sacramento show on Thursday, October 15th. The star says he plowed through, later lamenting his spat of bad luck. Friday night he was in San Diego before a Saturday night show in Irvine. A couple of my friends actually went back home. TMZ reports that Bryan lost his voice during the show, but still thrilled fans with his hot dance moves, and, on Sunday, he revealed he was well-medicated, but still feeling ill with Mucinex, prednisone, Advil, inhaler, and a Z-Pack, yuck, and get this, not one after beer after this show all week. He tweeted that. I saw that little tweet. I thought that was funny. Earlier this month, Bryan had to reschedule his tour stop in South Carolina twice, and shows scheduled for Lexington and Knoxville, Tennessee, were also rescheduled as heavy rains moved through the Southwest, as I mentioned last week, and I told you guys all about those concerts being canceled and trying to reschedule, so that's always a pain, I'm sure. And the Kick the Dust Up tour will resume on Thursday night in San Antonio with shows Friday and Saturday in Dallas. And the final show of the tour is on October 30th in Detroit, Michigan. Bryan will perform at the 2015 CMA Awards on November 4th, where he is up for Entertainer of the Year and Male Vocalist of the Year. So he'll be looking to go back-to-back in the night's big category. Now, I mentioned some music videos last week, and another one came up in the gossip this week. This week music videos I'm going to talk about, and usually they end with strum of song's last chord, but with Rodney Atkins it was different, and he went with a direction with Eat Sleep Love You Repeat, which is his song, and the end is only the beginning of this story. The song is an upbeat tune about the narrator's natural ability to love his significant other as part of his very simple routine, which includes only 3 things: eating, sleeping, and loving her. Everything else is extraneous, and he seems unconcerned and with when or how they will be accomplished. Though the sentiment is sweet and the vibe is cheery, the video is flavored with a bit more sorrow and regret. Chapter 1 of the story, which the video indicates in the first frame, shows a man going about his life haunted by the loss of a relationship. He sees the woman everywhere, but it's all in his head. The man realizes he made a mistake and takes drastic measures to try and win her back. That's where the story is declared. To be continued. The cliffhanger leaves fans guessing as to what happens next, which assuredly will be revealed in Atkins' next video. But no official news yet on that, so we'll have to see when that comes out. And I did watch it. It's quite interesting. I'm looking forward to what the next video will look like. It definitely let me hanging, kind of like almost every movie I watch lately has been just leaving me hanging. Don't like it. Now, here's something I hadn't heard about before, but Nashville is going to take on the Island Spirit next February, my birthday month, when a few of its stars head to the Mexican island, in which I cannot pronounce something like oh gosh, Isla Mujeres, maybe? I don't know. For the Island Time Music and Fishing Fest. The six-day event features a series of intimate live performances in local venues, including a luxurious private residence, along with a fishing tournament that coincides with the winter migration of sailfish to the local waters. Kelly Pickler, Jared Neiman, and Black Jerry Billy, Love Theft and Low Cash, and many more actually will be heading to Paradise to perform at the festival that will support the Little Yellow Schoolhouse, which is a charity which provides services to the special needs children of Isla Mujeres at no charge. Don't think I'm pronouncing that right. In addition to proceeds from performance ticket sales and the fishing competition, an online memorabilia auction will actually also take place, which will support the cause as well. These artists, musicians, and songwriters are donating their time for this cause, and more artists for the nearly week-long celebration will be announced as the festival draws nearer, of course. And the tickets range from about $199 to $249 per person, so, and probably additional pricing for the select events also available. Now, it's not bad for 6 days, but that probably doesn't include your hotel, airfare, and all the extra stuff when you travel, so it seems pretty cool, though. And I mentioned Kelly Pickler was going to be there, but speaking of her, she hates one thing, and I can't agree more with this in some situations, so I'm kind of in between with her on this, but she actually hates cell phones. She hates cell phones at concerts. It's hard to go to a concert, she said, in 2015 without seeing a sea of glowing smartphones in the audience, but there are some artists wish that wasn't the case. Kelly Pickler made it known to InStyle magazine that she didn't appreciate the prevalence of cameras and iPhones at her shows. There is no eye contact anymore, the singer said. At my concerts, when I'm performing, sometimes all I notice are people's phones. It's very distracting. I think about the people who paid all this money to be in the front row, and they're holding up their phones. They could have sat at home and watched me on YouTube. Now, she has a point for sure, and the proof of her conviction is in her performances. The artist says she doesn't even acknowledge the fans who aren't engaged. To her, it's not worth trying to overcome the digital blockade. I dismiss the people with their phones and try to perform to the people paying attention. If someone is standing with their phone in front of their face the whole time, there's a barrier. It's like they put up a shield that says they don't want to be bothered, it's rude and disrespectful. I'd much rather spend my time engaging with someone and thinking to myself why they connect with the song. You have to be present, you have to be in the moment, she said, and I completely agree with that in some way. Yes, it's rude to be on your phone at a country concert, especially if you paid for good tickets and maybe even on a date. But say if you wanted a video of her to keep, then I think that's different, but obviously that's for a short period of time, so I can see where she's coming from for sure. And some artists actually offer a different perspective. However, Dustin Lynch has gone on the record to say he welcomes social media and technology into his concerts. When they post it to social media and to Snapchat, it's the whole wish you were here or you should have came. Lynch told ABC News, so it's a great advertisement for us as well. The singer actually loves when the phone comes out at the beginning of the show. It's a testament to the excitement in the room, and a lot of people get there 4 or 5 hours actually earlier, and they're standing there waiting. So when we hit the stage, that first song, the phones are out. The Snapchats are going off, and they're videoing, and they're taking pictures. But to Pickler, it's an overarching problem in today's world. And it's not just about her music, it's about missing out on real-life connection for the sake of online interaction. Social media is obviously a good tool to promote whatever it is you're doing or keep in touch with loved ones that are in the same place. But you have to know when to disconnect from the world or you lose yourself really fast. I'd rather have a coffee or a drink, she said, just talk in person. I'm all about eye contact. I live in the present. Pickler has been busy, but not only with her music, but in her career on television, as she and her husband are launching a reality show on CMT called I Love Kelly Pickler, November 5th, and she is also working on a lifestyle daytime talk show with Faith Hill as executive producer. I mentioned that a couple weeks ago, actually. But I couldn't agree more on what Kelly said. Technology is moving so fast nowadays, and I was so thankful it wasn't such a huge thing when I started growing up. I was happy to not get a phone until my freshman year of high school, and my mom always had strict rules with me, no phone at the dinner tables or at family dinners with aunts or uncles and grandparents, and occasionally at night so that we can get some sleep and we're not on Twitter or Facebook late at night. And I love how she said it's all about eye contact, and it really is. Love Kelly Pickler, and her old song Red High Heels has been stuck in my head ever since I heard her voice talking on the radio and her talking about cell phones. That was one of my first songs I actually heard by her, and I actually always got her and Carrie Underwood mixed up when I was little, so huge fan of her and look forward to her TV series. Definitely want to tune into that. Now, a guy I've never seen in concert but would love to see is Blake Shelton, and he is in high demand. The Stars' Nashville tour date, which went on sale Saturday, October 17th, sold out in minutes. He has since added a second show at the city's Bridgeton Arena on March 5th. Nashville, he said, is my second home, and this is a hell of a homecoming, Shelton said in a press release. Tickets for the new Music City date will go on sale October 23rd, so a couple more days. And last month, the Sangria singer shut down the Music Row when over 10,000 fans attended Shelton's free concert outside his label on 16th Avenue. Next March, those fans will get a chance to see the singer in a much larger venue when his tour comes through town. Shelton is also a headliner at next year's Country Jam Festival in Grand Junction, Colorado, so I hope he plays near me sometime. Love his song right now, Gonna. It's so good. I'm addicted to it. And another male, Chris Young's I'm Coming Over, is his fifth studio album and a big opportunity to take the next step in his career. He's refined and defined his sound through the years with songs like Getting You Home, Tomorrow, and You, and is now looking to expand that definition with sharp, powerful love and life songs. I love Tomorrow and You, both two songs of him, which are really good. And it's difficult to imagine Young pushing the envelope too far. Compared to many artists popular today, he'll always be considered traditional, but the singer has proven that traditional doesn't need to be a synonym for old. Vocally, he's unmatched, and on each album, he finds ways to challenge his voice in new and refreshing ways. Look for I'm Coming Over in stores online on November 13th. Gotta love him. I'm Coming Over is another good song and one of my favorites right now. It was Thomas Rhett, Die a Happy Man, but now I've just moved on. Now, if you've ever heard the songs Dib or Yeah Boy, you know this next artist, impressive newcomer Kelsey Ballerina, has a shot to the top of the Who's Who's list in country music, and she's using her new hire platform in the best way. The artist hit it off with Allie Allen, a fan who has been battling brain cancer off and on since 2013. When visiting St. Jude, and now Ballerina is celebrating the end of Allen's most recent bout of radiation treatment by inviting her to the CMA Awards. Ballerina posted an adorably genuine video invitation on Twitter, featuring mini videos from her makeup artists and stylists, who are all excited to spend the evening with Allen in Nashville on November 4th. In the video, Ballerina explains she knew Allen has a break from treatment and invites her to be her official date to country music's biggest night, noting that she'll get all glammed up and with Ballerina and get to walk the red carpet together before attending the actual ceremony, so that'll be super cool. Allen retweeted the request, so it's probably safe to say she's RSVPing a yes to the invitation. Ballerina is nominated for Female Vocalist of the Year, as well as New Artist of the Year as this year's CMA Awards. She's also performing at the event. The Dib singer got to announce her own nominations alongside Steven Tyler in early September, and she seemed genuinely stunned to be named alongside some of the country's biggest superstars. Ballerina's love song, Love Me Like You Mean It, reached number one earlier this year, and the singer has been on steady climb ever since. Dibs is a 25 hit. I love Dibs. Such a good song. I love it. And I think that's awesome what she's doing. I'm sure Allen is going to enjoy herself at the CMA Awards. Now, if there are any American Idol fans out there, here's a crazy funny story for you guys. It was just a normal day of auditions for American Idol judges Keith Urban, Jennifer Lopez, and Harry Connick Jr. when in walks a face they never expected to see. And you'll probably never guess this name. It was actually Kanye West. The judges were shocked, especially Urban, who seemed at loss for words. West didn't second guess himself, but does he ever? And went ahead confidently with his audition singing a bit from Gold Digger, which fans will remember absolutely. No one ever said sucking up to the judges doesn't pay off once in a while. The superstar hip-hop icon breezed right on through the audition, strolling out the doors with a coveted golden ticket to Hollywood. Wife Kim Kardashian was greeting him outside the audition room with host Ryan Seacrest to congratulate him. It certainly turned a typical audition experience into a memorable one for the judges on their last season, though Urban has said he thinks the show may come back in some capacity in the future. He said, I've been hearing more and more that there's so much love out there for Idol that it may continue on in some form somewhere else. I don't know, I just know there's so much talk about it, maybe being the final season where it is. And at some point, coming back to life again, so who knows, he told Country Countdown of USA. The artist says, if Idol did make a return, he definitely wouldn't be opposed to continuing his role. I'd be open to it because it's a fun part of my year. And Urban, who began it as a judge in 2012, admits, "My primary love professionally is writing songs, making records, and touring. That's what I love more than anything, but Idol fits in beautifully to that, so I certainly enjoy doing it." Urban has been busy with the success of his latest single, John Cougar, John Deere, John 316, at his 19th number one hit, closely following his 18th number one, Raise Him Up, a duet with Eric Church. No official word on details for the upcoming album, but Urban says he's working on it now, and a new single from that album is expected soon. So yay, can't wait. I love watching American Idol at the beginning, all the auditions, it's awesome. And then, of course, towards the end to see who wins, but Kanye West, I would have never thought, super strange. Can't believe it. Can't wait to see that episode, though, and when I read it, and when I read this online, I thought it was a complete joke, but obviously not, so that's pretty crazy to hear. Now, singing certainly runs in the McGraw household. When your parents are Tim McGraw and Faith Hill, it would be unnatural if it didn't. For Gracie, the eldest of the three McGraw sisters, the ability to sing meant the opportunity to show her skills on Dad's album. McGraw shared that above video on his Facebook page, sampling a studio version of Here Tonight, a song of his upcoming album, Damn Country Music. He also talks of recording the song with his daughter and performing it for the first time live in Nashville. And the Tennessean reports that while Tim McGraw was working on Here Tonight, he couldn't shake hearing his daughter Gracie's voice on the track. "When we were working on this song, I just kept hearing her voice on Here Tonight," he said. "I was afraid to ask her because she's way cooler than I am, and I was scared to death that she would say no. So nervous about asking Gracie to sing on the song, he looked to wife Faith Hill for her opinion, of course, and her advice was, 'You're on your own.' She said, 'If you're brave enough to ask her, you've got to take what comes.'" And so McGraw decided to ask his daughter by sending her the song, and her response was, "That's cool, Dad. I like it." And then the two hit the studio together. McGraw's new album, Damn Country Music, is available on November 6th, and you can actually watch the video of them singing on YouTube if y'all want to check it out. I wish I had a good voice and could sing duets with my dad. We just sing to Journey, or whenever we're in the car together, that's the closest we get to being on stage doing a duet. But I'll take that any day for sure. Now, Jason Aldean is going on tour in 2016. His 2016 tour plans will include Thomas Rhett, 1,000 horses, and fans in 24 cities across the United States and even in Australia. The 2016 We Were Here tour will begin on January 14th in Illinois. The three March dates in Australia will actually be Aldean's first on the continent. The tour's name comes from his current single, Gonna Know We Were Here, which is nearing the top 10 on the Billboard Airplay chart. A music video for the song was also released on Friday. So this song pretty much sums up how I feel, like me and my fans live our lives, Alden says in a press release. He said that that same excitement is what we feel out there on the road every night, which made it a great name for our next year's tour. The tour announcement comes as his Burn It Down tour wraps up in Florida. Tyler Farr and Cole Swindell opened for Aldean throughout 2015, including a memorable stop in Nashville in February. In addition to his own hit records, Rhett has written songs like I Ain't Ready to Quit and 1994 for Aldean. He'll bring his hits from his new album, Tangled Up, to the tour, while 1,000 Horses bring their hit, Smoke, and others from the Southernality album on the road with them. So, I can't believe my show is coming to an end. I gave you guys so much information, but thank you all for tuning in to Country 101 with me, DJ Rodeo, right here on radio.dominican.edu. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your week, and I'll see you back here next Wednesday. All right, so I'm going to play the song Gonna by Blake Shelton. I know I mentioned it to you guys. It's been stuck in my head, so I want you guys to give it a little listen. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your night.
Yes. I'm gonna put the radio on your favorite song. I'm gonna crank it up. passion I wanna. It's a damn right, hold you tight, baby, I'm gonna love you all night long till the crickets stop chirping. Girl, I ain't just flirting, I'm certain. I'm working on a long-term plan, gonna be your man, gonna put a little rock steady on your hand. Yeah.
DU Did You Know is brought to you by the DJs of Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu.
Broadcasting worldwide from the Yukon to the Euphrates.